Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you with us here today for another in the series, Read the Word. And I've got to do a little clicking here to get the technology to catch up, but it's all right. Those of you around the world with us, wherever you may be, we're so glad that you stream with us. And no matter what goes on in this world, we want you to know that we appreciate your prayers and your faith. And our faith is with you every single day. Those of you who are on the Blog Talk Radio channel, and you hear us talk about the prayer program. We have a prayer program that we do every day in the mornings that is called Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness. Program is, the Bible says, God's living word says, righteousness is what exalts a nation. Great French explorer, Tocqueville, or however you say his name, said that he came to America in search of what was the reason for her greatness. He looked in the ports, in the trees, the lumber, the woods, the fields, the universities. And he said he didn't see the greatness of America there. He said, when I went into the church and heard the fire in the pulpit, then I realized the reason that America was great is because America was good. And America is still good. And no matter what nation you live in around the world, I encourage you today, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And find this on YouTube. If it's in your nation, find it. Samuel J. Cottle, my name. It's my YouTube channel. And like, subscribe, and hit the bell so that you can connect with us. We'd love to have you pray with us. And we pray with you every single day. And we don't specifically on air name the name of your country every day. We're pretty close. And if you hear us naming the names of countries and we leave yours out, it's just because you didn't get our distribution list yet that we can see. And so send us an email. I've been saying for a while now, send us an email. Send us a picture of you as you study this program with us. And we're going to make a partner board here where you can be a part of this with us. And we'll see your picture and pray for you, lay hands on it, pray for you every day. And so send us one. My email address is in the notes of each of these programs. And I thank you for it. Well, let's get right at it. This is going to be really interesting to go through the New Testament chronologically. I've read the New Testament many different ways, never chronologically. And I think a true chronological New Testament would actually have to be written out in written form, because it would just be portions of each chapter. And I think it would be a blast to do so. Another project won't be good. Let's start with our opening prayer tonight. I really like this prayer the Holy Spirit gave us. And so Those of you that's on YouTube, you'll be able to see it. Those of you that's in Blog Talk Radio, it's in the notes of your program. Pray this with me. God our Father, we thank you for Jesus' blood that gives us access to come boldly to your throne of grace and help. We pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God, as the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God, as ministers of reconciliation, as ambassadors of the kingdom of heaven, as kings and priests to God, by the power of the Holy Spirit.
In Jesus' name, we, the community of faith, declare,
thank you, Father, that you have filled us with your Holy Spirit.
Flow, Holy Spirit.
Flow with your presence and power in our lives. We receive your guidance through this time of ministry, that all of our lives will be changed forever
by the word of God, so that glory and honor will
be brought to your kingdom through our influence today. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. And amen. That's it. You got one? Yeah. Here we go. We got an interesting set of verses today. Jesus in the wilderness. Jesus begins his ministry. And here we go. It's going to be a good time. I love it. So first off, Matthew chapter 4. Temptation in the wilderness. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days, 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. And that's when the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Everything the devil will ever say to you is going to come to you with an if, or a maybe, or don't you know. And it's all a lie. Crush it. Verse 4, Jesus answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Jesus had learned as a man to answer the enemy with the word of God. Verse 5, the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and he said to him, if you are Son of God, throw yourself down. For it's written, he'll give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. He's quoting the Bible. The liar, the deceiver, is quoting the Bible. Verse 7, Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Don't do it just to be doing it. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him up on an exceeding high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan. It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. He tucked his tail between his legs and barked like a whooped dog off through the wilderness. The devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he departed to Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is by the sea in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sat in darkness have seen the great light. Who was the great light? Jesus was. And upon those who sat in the region in shadow of death, light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I'm in Matthew 4:18. And Jesus, walking by the sea, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea. They were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me. I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, we know by our study that there's a whole lot more to that story than what Matthew wrote. Because the great caught of drishes, the great drought of fishes. Love it. I'm in 53. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. All right, you got to get that statement. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. Healing all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease among the people. His fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought to him all sick people who were afflicted with various diseases and torments, and those who were demon-possessed, epileptics, paralytics, and he healed them. Great multitudes followed him from Galilee, from Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and beyond the Jordan. Luke chapter 4. Here we go. This is my most favorite chapter on this page. The temptation of Jesus. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, remember, he's a man, he had to be filled with the Spirit, came up out of the water, Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. Returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, when the 40 days had ended, he was hungry. And the devil showed up and said to him, if you're the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Jesus answered, saying, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. The devil, taking him on a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. The devil said to him, all this authority I will give you, and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whoever I wish. If you, therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. And I want you to just pause for a second here on this verse, because Psalms says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they dwell therein. However, Adam and Eve listened to the serpent and ate of that tree. Adam had been given authority and dominion over this earth. And that's the point when Satan now had control, because they submitted their leadership under him, which gave him the authority of the whole world. That's why, don't ever surrender your authority to anybody.
No kidding.
Verse 8, Jesus answered and said, get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord, your God, and him only shall you serve. He brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourselves down from him. It is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you. The devil didn't pick Jesus up and carry him to the top of the temple. Okay? Just for people that take things too literally. Jesus didn't let the devil pick him up and take him nowhere. But in that temptation, that's what he saw. 9, he brought him to Jerusalem and pinnacle. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Jesus said, Satan said, he will give his angels charge over you, keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Jesus answered and said, it has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. When the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until a more opportune time. One Bible says, for a whole season. Mm-hmm. A whole season is 120 days. 4 months. 3 months.
That would be 4 months. And that's a season.
4 months is a season?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
No. There are four seasons, so it would be 3 months per season. Yeah.
I immediately went to see corn is 100 days, radishes is 21 days. Yeah. Here we go. I'm in 4:14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And the news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written about him. Now, some people believe that... Come on now, click. Juliana. Hi, Juliana. Good to have you with us tonight. It was already set up of what would be read that day. And Jesus showed up on the day that his prophecy would be read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon you. Because he's anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed or bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down, and the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. He began to say to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Now remember, there was a seat in the synagogue that was reserved for the Messiah. Nobody was allowed to sit in. But Jesus, the Messiah, would come and would be seated in. When Jesus got done reading, he went and sat in that seat. Now, for those of you really quasi, radical about accuracy in reporting, I was not there to see him sit in the seat. However, I do believe the word of those who saw it happen. Amen. And it's written right here. 22. So all bore witness to him and marveled that the gracious words was proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? They're starting to littleize him. He said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in your country. He said, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 months, 3 years and 6 months. And there was a great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent, except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet. None of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. All those in the synagogue, when they heard this, verse 22, they were filled with amazement. Six verses later, they're filled with wrath. These people had a serious problem in their life. Take another one.
Hi, Juliana.
29. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up, thrust him out of the city. They led him to the brow of a hill on which the city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. They were going to kill him. Their own hometown boy. So Jesus said, not today, boys. Passing through the midst of them, he went his way. I don't know if he had a force field. I don't know if they could all grab a hold and their hand just slipped off him, but he passed right through the midst of them. I think it's pretty amazing. 31. He went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and was teaching them on the Sabbath. And they were astonished at his teachings, for his word was with authority. Now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon, and he cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You are the Holy One of God. Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in the midst, came out of him and did not hurt him. Then they were all amazed and spoke among themselves, saying, what a word this is. For with power and authority, he commands the unclean spirits. And they came out, and the report about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. Verse 38. Now he arose from the synagogue, entered Simon's house, but Simon's wife's mother was sick with a high fever, and they made requests concerning her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. Immediately she arose and served them. Verse 40, when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them. That's a hand-laying service right there.
Yeah.
And he healed them. And the demons also came out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, did not allow them to speak, for they knew that he was the Christ. Well, of course they knew. They saw him in eternity prior, you know. 42, when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him, came to him, tried to keep him from leaving them. But he said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Galilee. John chapter 1, verse number 15.
Were we doing Luke 4 and 5 or no?
Oh, was that just Luke 4?
Yeah.
We might as well read verse chapter 5 too.
Might as well.
She's glad you was paying attention. And so it was, the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats standing by the lake. Fishermen had gone from them, were washing their nets. And then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, asked him to put out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he said, "Don't look up from the text unless you got your finger on it." He said to Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets," plural, "for a catch." Simon answered and said to him, "Master, we've toiled all night and we caught nothing in this exact spot. And it's the middle of the day. What's Peter doing? I'm a fisherman. I know how this works. We don't catch fish here in the middle of the day. The water's so clear, they see the net." Right? But look at that next word. "Nevertheless."
"Nevertheless."
"At your word, I will let down the net." Not two, one. "When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." Now, we can realize this wasn't just an oar boat with a couple of oars on the side of it. This was a fishing vessel, and they had some servants who were on there helping them. It was a commercial fishing business. "When they let down, when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat, 'Come and help them.' And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink." The partners was Peter, was James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Mm-hmm. Verse 8, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." He couldn't get down to his feet. They were covered with fish. "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken." This is my word. "In exactly the same spot they fished all night. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men.' So when they brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now, think about this for a minute. Peter had just heard Jesus teaching in Well, he sat in the boat. I mean, Peter's kind of a captive audience. He's a captain of the ship, but he's a captive on that ship because he can't get away. So while Jesus taught, faith came in his heart. When Jesus said, cast down your nets, he's like, well, see what this is all about. And transformed the fishing business that day. Many scholars believe they caught a year's worth of fish in one catch.
Wow.
That's a lot of fish smoking going on. I'm in Luke 5:12. I could preach for about 4 hours right there, but I'm just reading the word. Hold the sign up. Read the word. Happened when he was in a certain city that, behold, a man full of leprosy saw Jesus, and he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, I'm willing, you can make me clean. Put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be clean. It's a long prayer, isn't it? Immediately the leprosy left him, and he charged him to tell no one. Go and show yourself to the priest. Make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded you. 15. However, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness to pray. He was just up here on Highway 85. Verse 17. Happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by. He had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The scribes, Pharisees, and the teachers of the law. And behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. And they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. This is Jesus' house. And they just tore the roof off it. But Jesus is a carpenter. Nobody freak out. Right? Look at verse 20. Notice he is capitalized, saw their faith, he said to them, man, your sins are forgiven you. And the man said, cool, dude. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, who is this who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or rise up and be healed? Both of them are a miracle. But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, I say to you, arise. Take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately, he rose up before them, took what he'd been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Did you notice he didn't say, man, I just got healed by a demon? No, he was glorifying God.
Yeah.
26, and they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things here today. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up and followed him. Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. And their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come. Look at this. I have come. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. 33. Then they said to him, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? Likewise, those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. He said to them, can you make friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? The days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. And he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece of new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. No one puts new wine in an old wineskin, or else the new wine will burst the wineskin and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, so that both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better. John chapter 1, verse number 15. Let's read 14 too. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. It's Jesus. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, truth, came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who's in the bosom of the Father, he has declared it. Verse 19, this is a testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, what then? Are you Elijah? He said, I'm not. Are you the prophet? And he said, no. Then they said to him, who are you, that we may give an answer to those who sent us? What do you say about yourself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. 24, now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, why then do you baptize if you're not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water. There stand ones among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. See, that religious demon is doing its best to silence anybody with a loud voice. Verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. Think about it. Jesus was before him. Jesus was in heaven and sent John to the womb by the angel of Gabriel. And then, Jesus was in heaven the day that he was getting ready to enter the womb in Mary and said, Gabriel, go tell her. And then Jesus is in the womb. Now, that's pretty amazing thought right there. 31, I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore, I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove. And he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining, on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. 35, again the next day, John stood with two of his disciples. Looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold, the Lamb of God. The two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, What do you seek? They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? He said to them, Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him that day, and it was about the 10th hour. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, We have found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, You are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a large stone. The following day, verse 43, the following day, Jesus wanted to go to Galilee. And he found Philip and said to him, Follow me. Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael, said to him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then Nathanael said to him, Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Philip said to him, Well, come and see. At least they saw their humanity. 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said, Behold, an Israelite, indeed, in whom there is no deceit. That's what you want Jesus to say about you.
Amen.
Nathanael said to him, How do you know me? Jesus answered and said to him, Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Nathanael's eyes grew very large.
Yeah.
Answered and said to him, Rabbi, you're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said to him, Because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see greater things than these. And he said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, hereafter, you shall see heaven open and the angels of God descending, ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. May
wow.
God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Don't you just love it? Wait, that's negative. We sure do love the word of God. Now, you want to pray the prayer of salvation with it so that you can be born again? So, no matter what's going on in your life tonight, pray this prayer with us and you'll be right with God. Just mean it. Say it from down in here, not up here. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for it.
And I thank you for it.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Put your arms out and say, and I receive you into my life.
And I receive you into my life.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love. loving your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in
understand
power.
The word.
Understand.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly
and
get, language.
Live a successful life.
And live a successful
as
life.
A believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And now we'll release Sister Leanne if she needs to rise and be moving.
Hmm? Is that what?
So we'll release you if you need to be arise and to be moving because of the hour. That's the first time you prayed that prayer. Welcome to the family of God. On the inside of you, you're feeling, you're experiencing something. It's a whole lot bigger than a feeling. And you are on the inside, you're like, man, something is going on. Well, what's going on? It's God Almighty just filled your life. With all the fullness of God. Because that's what he instructed me to say in our communion service. Pretty amazing. You might say, Pastor, I didn't even do anything to deserve it. You can never do anything to deserve it. You could never be good enough. Can't be. Just receive his love and mercy and his grace. Because it is higher than the heavens, taller than the mountains, wider than the sea. He loves you and me. Click like and love. I mean, hit like, subscribe, and ring the bell so you can continually be updated. There's a playlist with all of these reads and words in it. You can find that in my name on the internet, on the YouTube, Samuel J. Cottle, and then put, read the word, and you'll see it right there, and it'll be a blessing to you. Well, that's all we got. It's not all we got to say, but it's all we got to say today. So, thank you for being with us. See you tomorrow night, same time. Same station, doing the same work in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.